The Dead Set Legends catch up for Knowles Caravans. If you're looking to hit the open road with a caravan this summer, start your journey at Knowles Caravans, the home of Island Star and Globetrotter.
Triple M.
Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now, and let's get into the podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome once again to the Saturday edition of Dead Set Legends on once again a magnificent Saturday morning. We're with you right through until midday, taking your calls, talking about all the things that are happening in the wonderful world of sport. And what a couple of days has been. The test match at the Wacker Ground, the Redbacks smashing the Tasmanians at the Adelaide Oval. It is fantastic stuff as I welcome my partner. And I must confess, it's nice to have him back and have a chat about what's happening in the wonderful world of sport. The one and only, the one of the greatest basketball players of all time. I'll give him a big rap now. I don't really mean it, but I'll make it sound good. The one and only Phil Smythe, the General. Smythe, welcome to the show.
Change, thank you very much. That's the nicest thing you've ever said about me.
Well, I didn't really mean it, Smythe, but I've just... No,
I'm aware of that.
I was sort of stuck for words at the end there.
And what about, I bump into Louis coming in, one of the big names, of course, in the Triple M family.
Louis, oh, yeah.
He said to me, the first thing you want to do this morning when you get in is sledge jars, which is, I was like, you're kidding, aren't you? One of the Monday to Friday boys, you want me to sledge him? He said he calls himself the gift now.
The what?
The gift. They said he had gifted
gift
hands.
That's gift.
The gift.
Give me a break.
He's gifted at getting to the buffet quicker than anyone else.
I tell you what, have you seen him lately? Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, well, we won't say anything about the door being widened here, but we won't give you a clue.
Talking about the wonderful world of sport, what about the test match at the Wacker Ground? Fair dinkum. The Aussies, 10 for 86 they lost. None for 158, going easy. Suddenly the Proteas go bang, 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 and we lose 10 for 86. Heads. No, I'll save that. I'll save it for one more time. 10 for 86. The Redbacks on fire down at the Adelaide Oval, which is fantastic. They're on the way to get outright
points.
Surely
one of our boys has got to get in the Aussie team, doesn't he?
Well.
Six for.
Don't start me.
We'll chat with him a bit later in the show.
Yep. Actually, we'll talk to young Chad Sayers. He's had a wonderful match yesterday. 6 for 32 against the Tasmanians. Man of the match against the Wacker boys in Perth.
Although it may be the bowlers is not the problem, Cage.
No. When you lose 10 for 86, you're right there.
We'll be having a bit of a look at that with you.
Exactly
too.
Right. Now, we'll have Mahatma on, of course, our sporting guru. Fair dinkum.
He's been at the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, he's been everywhere. I don't mind telling you. Unfortunately, he's been everywhere. And we'll have a chat to Mark Rusciuto. We'll look at the Adelaide United boys playing tomorrow at Highmark Stadium. And we'll talk to former Australian cricket captain Kim Hughes because, gee whiz, we've gone from being right on top to the game, the test match, being right back on an even par, General.
Yes, I want to have a talk to you about captains later on too and books coming out and things that people are saying and the Channel 9 commentary team. There's a lot of questions for you in the next few hours.
Exactly right. So we want the Triple M family to jump on the phone. We'll come back, have our say on the test group and take your calls. 1-333-53 is our number. This is the Dead Set Legends.
All thanks to Knowles Caravans. You'll love the way they'll do business, Triple M.
Match at the Wacker Ground in Perth, as we said earlier. Australia well and truly on top when they were batting at none for 158. Then they lose 10 for 86. But I've got to say, being a cricket lover, there was one thing that happened in the game yesterday that really, honestly, was ridiculous. Steve Smith, our captain, was adjudicated LBW by the umpire when he was playing an orthodox spinner and he was hit on the pad 2.8 metres down the deck. Now, I defy anybody, any umpire, to be sure that from 2.8 metres down the deck, that ball's going to hit the stumps. And I know that they've got this technology now they use. It's going to clip the stump. You can't give that out. That's the most ridiculous decision I think I've seen. 2.8 metres down the deck, and he's out for no score. He remonstrated. He now will be fined because he incurred a fine in the series in Christchurch. He was fined 30% of his wages.
Seriously, could you call that a remonstration?
Well, he's obviously clashed with a couple of players as he's walked off, and he's throwing his arms up in the air, throwing his head back, and he'll either cop a fine or he'll get could even be in fact be suspended and for a test match. Now, Fair dinkum. Honestly, it's gone mad.
Let me ask you this, Cage, because you're the batsman. So traditionally, the batsman came down that far so they couldn't be given out LBW.
Well, he can't,
Now, Kevin Peterson made this comment yesterday after it happened. He said, I don't think you guys, he's talking to the other commentators, he said, I don't think you guys realise this will impact on the game. Players were never given out down the pitch.
Never.
So how will the batsman now play? So let me ask you this, Cage. Could they say, well, I can't go down the pitch because I can be given out LBW. I'm just going to stay at the crease. I'm just going to block. I'm going to block. Because normally when you went down the pitch, you gave it a fair wallop.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to... How boring is cricket becoming?
Well, it's ridiculous. We're relying
could that happen?
Much, well, it could happen, but they're relying, General, too much on technology. It's ridiculous. You can't give that out. I don't care who the umpire is, but he put his finger up immediately and Smith is on his way and he wasn't happy at all. And I agree with Kevin Peterson. 133353, folks. Was the LBW decision against... Steve Smith, right or wrong? Have your say. Now, come on, cricket enthusiasts, Triple M family, jump on the line. 133353. The LBW decision against Stephen Smith, was it right or was it wrong? Give us a call.
First time you've ever seen it, Cage? Is that the first time you've ever seen it?
I've never seen an umpire give a player out like that in my life. I was sitting in front of the TV saying to myself, you're kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. He's nearly 3 metres down the bloody deck. Who knows what the ball's going to do?
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Well, General, what a great performance by the Redbacks yesterday, knocking over Tasmania for 98, and they've got 8 wickets in hand and lead by 124, so they're in the box seat.
What about our next guest, Cage, the Destroyer? Surely he should be considered.
Well, I said last week, and I've said it till I'm blue in the face, why this young man hasn't got a baggy green cap is beyond me. Last week against WA, man of the match, 6 wickets for the game. Yesterday, 6 for 32, knocks Tasmania over for 98. So an absolute joke. As we welcome young Chad Sayers to the program. Chad, congratulations.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Gee, Chad, you must be delighted with your form. As I said, 6 wickets last week against WA, 6 for 32 yesterday. You must be delighted with the way it's coming out, the ball.
Yeah, it's always good to get off to a good start in the season and take a few wickets, but equally it's good to put South Australia in a couple of good positions to win a couple of games of cricket. So we started well yesterday. It's probably one of the best days of cricket I've been involved in. So, we're really leading the game.
Gee, I tell you what, Chad, here's a golden opportunity now to go for maximum points.
Well, that's right. Our two young openers yesterday went out and didn't let Tassie get a sniff. So, as you said before, 120-odd in front going into day two is a great position to be in.
Exactly.
Mate, Jake Weatherald, on his 22nd birthday, a nice 110. Mate, what was he like in the rooms after?
Yeah, he's pretty happy. On your birthday, you got 100, and how could you not be happy? But and to get his first one, he's been in great form in the one-day comp. He also got 100 there, so he's been in great form, and he's a great player and one to watch out in the future.
D-Chad, the boys from Darwin, I must confess, I saw him play in the Shield final last year, and he impressed me. But watching him yesterday, he has really matured into a very, very fine young player.
Yeah, he has. He obviously, as you said, got a taste last year, and I wasn't sure what to get from him either. So, but being in the squad this year, you see how hard he works, and he knows his game backwards. So, he's one for the future for Australia, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Mate, I've got some friends down in Tasmania. They're wondering if it's something personal against Tassie. Last time you took 7 for 46, this time 6 for 32. Is there something you don't like about the Tassies?
Oh, they're a bit of a bogey side at the moment, aren't they? But, I shouldn't speak too soon because we've got to bowl in the second inning. So, nah, they got a decent batting lineup. We just bowled very well yesterday, and we caught well on the slips as well, which always helps.
Exactly.
I reckon he's talking himself up, Cage, because he said they've got a pretty good batting lineup, and I took six for. Exactly, so I don't mind telling you how good I'm bowling either.
Exactly right. Chad, the other good thing about the South Australian side at the moment is that if you don't perform, then you won't hold your spot. That's how tough it is to get into the side.
Yeah, that's right, Cage. Obviously, a few players that have been in the side in the past are on the sideline, so, and doing well in grade cricket and second 11 cricket. So that's always good for your side when there's pressure on players in the side to hold their spot. So you get the likes of Alex Ross and Tim Ludeman not in the side at the moment.
Exactly.
Who are very good players.
Exactly.
Chad, I don't want to put you under the pump, mate, but sledging sort of raised its head again through the inquiry and lots of other times.
I have a sledge in my day.
Oh, please. Mate, I'm next to one of the biggest sledgers of all time. Do you get into it? Are you a bit of a sledger or not, Chad?
I'm not the quickest bowler, as you know, so I need to find another edge. So when there's a chance to have a yarn, you always do.
Tickets, please. Tickets, please.
Chad, without embarrassing you, I said this on the program last week that I'm just amazed when you look at your performances, what, 170 wickets at 24 or something, that you haven't got the baggy green. I know it's hard for you to answer this sort of question, but, you know, what's your sort of mood there? Is it just a matter of continuing to take wickets?
Yeah, that's right. You just got to keep performing and winning games for your state. I guess in the past, we haven't won too many games.
No.
So it's really hard to pick you. But at the moment, as you saw in the previous one-day squad, that Travis, Adam, Joe and Frank Awero were in, they're starting to notice us. So, as you said, just keep taking wickets and performing, and hopefully it's not too far around the corner.
Well, Chad, good luck, mate. You're certainly performing wonderfully for the South Australian Redback boys. Good luck over the next 3 days. Let's hope we can get maximum points, and that would be just a wonderful start for the year, young man.
It'll be great. Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, Chad. Young Chad Sard, fair dinkum, General. It's a joke he's not on the Australian side.
Mate,
honestly.
How can you take a six-fer and then another
six-fer? They got this bloody stupid thought about the kid's not quick enough. It doesn't matter how quick you are. When you swing the ball as he does, move it off the seam as he does, and if you look at his dismissals yesterday, either caught behind, LBW, or hits the sticks.
The pressure test with Ruan Ditts.
Oh my gosh, I can't even think of the name properly.
Don't let the pressure get you.
The nerves just, oh, it's ridiculous.
$500 is up for grabs. Get some easy money.
Oh, gee, another 500. Oh, we've given away
fabulous.
Weekday mornings at 7 and 8 with the pressure test.
Well, here is your money.
Ruan Ditts for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Thanks very much,
Duncan.
Thank you,
Charmin. Mahatma Kose is back on your radio.
Yes, he certainly is. He's back on our radio. Smythe, this is a treat for you, son.
Oh, I love Mahatma.
Speaking to the one and only sporting guru, great expense to the management, as we welcome Mahatma Kose. Good morning, Mahatma.
Yes, good morning, Cunnington. Good morning to you, and good morning to the general, the one and only.
Yeah, the general on the basketball court. No doubt about that.
That is it.
Now, Mahatma, 10 for 86. What's going on with the cricket?
I'm telling you what, people within that organisation should have the ghoulies cut straight off. Someone is doing the wrong thing, Cunnington. Apart from Warner,
yes.
That team can't bat, Cunnington. What is Rodney Marsh doing? What is James Sutherland doing?
Yes.
We have not got a cricket team. And I think that Daryl Staines was right when he said if he could cut the head off Warner's snake, that could finish the team, isn't it?
Well, that's true, but he didn't cut the head off Warner, did he? Warner certainly wagged, not 97. Fantastic. 90s,
but I'm telling you what, Cunnington, if they get that boy out, Australia could be bowled out. Well, Staines is gone now.
Yes.
I mean, he has gone, shoulder injury. Shiraz Coat has already had the call from the management of the South African team.
So she's going over to see Dale Steyn and fix his shoulder?
That is it. Well, you'll remember quite a few years ago when that young red-headed boy, Pollock, you came out.
Yes.
And he had trouble with his knees. Shiraz gave a number of their players a knee trembler. that new massage that she inherited from India. And she's going over to work on Gumstein's
shoulder.
Shoulder, that is it.
Well, she can't give him a knee tremble. So how will she fix his shoulder?
Well, it's around the head region, so it could be. She'll work on in the back of his head and the neck where the pain will come from.
Okay, fair enough.
So yeah, it'll be a head trembler. she will get him. But anyway, let's get. I think they're gone. The Australians are gone. One for 104. South Africa will lead by approximately 300, and they will bowl Australia out. Kind of goodness, that wicket gets big cracks in it, isn't it?
Well, the cracks are starting to open up now, and it'll start to woof off the seam and play all sorts of tricks. Now, Mahatma. The big sporting event of the week, the Melbourne Cup. Were you there with Shiraz?
That is it, Cunnington. We were there as Almondin, the man then comes down the street, Almondin down the street. Shiraz was jumping up and down. Oh, what a victory, Cunnington. You know who we were standing beside, isn't it?
Who?
Gina Reinhart.
Oh.
That is it. And she must have had plenty on it because she was jumping up so much. She fell down the stairs, Cunnington.
Oh, did Shiraz come to her aid?
Well, about four or five men had to come to her aid.
four or five, Mahatma? Why? What, just to pick her up?
No. Oh, no. She got up herself. That was to pick up her wallet. that was to carry her wallet for her and to stave off the three children who, as soon as they saw the wallet hit the ground, came over and made another bid for it. They said, give us that. I reckon she had something like 22 million in that particular purse.
Really?
Oh, goodness. What about, like, she's a lovely woman. I had a very good talk to her, and of course her and Shiraz share the same size dresses, so they were talking about fashion and that sort of thing. It was good. But Cunnington, there was, Smythe, there were celebrities everywhere. You never know who I was having a drink with. One of my old favourites in the tennis.
Who?
Henri Leconte. Oh,
you're joking.
No, he was there. Did you see him on television?
No, I didn't, no. I didn't see you or Shiraz either.
No, well, we were just behind Leconte, and, I mean, people were yelling out, you know, get out of the road, Leconte, and I said, just leave him, he's doing an interview, and they said, no, not him, you, and I didn't get that. Cunnington, I reminisce, remember, and Smythe, remember that famous Wimbledon match where he was so embarrassed? Remember the days when everyone used to go to the tennis with their face painted?
Yes.
And they would write the names of their favourite player across their tummies. And that. I said to him, Henri, I was there at the US Open the day those two young girls had your name written all over their tummies.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
And I said, but remember, Henri, they had the spelling wrong. You know what he said? Oh, yes, that is it.
I dare not ask you how they spelled it.
Oh, they spelled it with an L-I instead of an L-E.
Oh, fair enough.
What about Usain Bolt? Usain Bolt, did you run into Usain?
Did I run into him, Smythe? I was there as that horse almost kicked him. And, you know, I said, you're saying the boss. And the horse just put his little foot up. And he said, goodness me, thank you very much, Mahatma. I said, you're saying, I told you that horse. The horse took a dislike to him instantly in the mounting yard.
Really?
Well, Usain was getting changed as well as they were saddling up the horse. Because Usain was getting in some running gear to do a little promo of running up and down the straight. And that horse realized immediately two things.
What's that?
That Usain Bolt was faster than he was.
Yes.
And secondly, that he had a big of naughty bit, and the horse did as well. So it was no wonder the horse just said, oh, I'm going to give him a kick. Unbelievable. Penny Wong, the politicians were out in force, Cunnington. I didn't see Turnbull, but I saw Penny Wong. I wasn't really talking to her. I was just standing beside her at the urinal.
They tell me she's a nice lady.
Yeah, I was just standing beside her at the toilet. We were there together, and that was very good. But I thought the big one was Gillard and Abbott talking together in the betting ring.
Really?
That is it. And you learn a bit at the races if you just overhear things. You pick up some tips. And
what did you hear, Mahatma? Tell me.
Well, I now understand that Tony Abbott is a bit of an animal lover.
Why?
Well, and exotic animals. You know how some people have snakes and, you know, some people might keep tigers.
And lizards.
That sort of thing. Well, Julia Gillard said, if you can pick the winner for me in the next race, he said, I'll give you that hedgehog for Christmas. You know? So he must love those exotic animals. And I said, oh, what a lovely Christmas present. Hey, where are you going to keep it, Tony? You know?
Mahatma, the Chicago Cubs. The Chicago yes. Cubs. Tell us what's happening over there.
First win in 100 years. They are calling it the papal victory. The Pope victory.
Papal victory. Why that?
Yeah. Well, someone said it's only been pulled off once every 100 years for them. But they, yeah, that is it. Thank you very much. It's a bit risque today. Listen, finally.
Yep.
I must tell you, this is a little joke. You know, Clinton Norris and what is his name? Trumpet.
Trump. Yeah. Yeah. Donald Trump, yeah.
Yeah, I'm calling him Trumpet because he's always making a bloody big noise. Well, they're going heads to heads. This weekend, but here's a little joke for you, Connie. So this yep. is very funny, I'm thinking. imagine this, George W. Bush
yes.
is dying and he is going to hell, right?
Right, it's a bad so start, the devil, but keep going.
The devil is waiting there
yes.
and he says, ah, George W., yes. He said, listen, a bit of a problem today, that every room is full. So if you come in, we've got to let someone go back. And he says, okay, okay. So they go into the first room. The yes. devil says, what about this one? And here is Ted Kennedy, and he's just diving into a pool and coming up empty-handed all day, diving into the pool, coming up. And George W. says, oh, no, I don't like the water. I don't think I'd be having this one. And the devil says, okay, let's go to the next room. Here is Al Gore. You know the
yep.
the you know the man, the green man, you know, yeah. we're all going to burn up and bloody all this stuff.
Oh, I can't wait for the punchline, Mahatma.
No, he is there, and he has got a big sledgehammer, and he's just breaking rock.
Yes.
And the devil says that's his punishment for telling lies to yes, the world.
Yes, right.
He says, no, I don't want to do that. That's too hard for me. They go into the next room, and here is Bill Clinton Earth.
Yes.
All right?
Oh, no.
He is lying on the bed.
Oh, yeah.
And Monica Lewinsky is there, and she is doing what she did best for him in the White House.
Yes.
And George W. says, okay, devil, I'll take this one. This looks pretty good to me. And the devil says, okay, then, that's your choice. And the devil yells out, okay, Monica, you can go now.
Oh, big one, Mahatma. On that note, Mahatma, we might speak to you again next week.
Thank you very much. Goodbye, General. You're champion.
See you later,
see you, Mahatma.
Oh, Mahatma.
He's so clever.
Oh, yeah, very clever. Back with more Chorley.
The Dead Set Legends catch up for Knowles Caravans. If you're looking to hit the open road with a caravan this summer, start your journey at Knowles Caravans, the home of Island Star and Globetrotter.
Triple M.
Well, of course, Mighty, tomorrow at Highmark Stadium, a very big game for Adelaide United. Nothing but nothing has gone right for the Reds at the moment.
Almost like the start of last season,
fair
dinkum. So they're getting ready to go on the tear.
Well, you would hope so. They take on Central Coast at home, and it now becomes a game they must win. Let's welcome to the program a young man who has returned home to Adelaide, playing for United, a very talented young man, young Ben Garuccio. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Ben. Ben, as I said to Smythe, nothing but nothing has gone right thus far for the Reds. We've had injuries, untold injuries. We keep hitting the woodwork. When are the gods going to start to smile on us, for goodness sake?
Yeah, I feel like we have had a little bit of bad luck so far, but that's football, I guess, and you got to take the good with the bad. So hopefully the luck will turn soon and results will start coming our way.
What about the players' confidence? How is their confidence that the fact we we've three losses and a draw, the confidence of the players, is it still high?
Yeah, of course. It's obviously still the start of the season, and you saw what they did last year.
Yep.
So I think the remaining boys from last year's group will be thinking that it's no different, I guess, from last year, and that they can turn it around, no worries. But obviously, me being new, it's a little bit disappointing this start, but it's just something that we need to turn around, and hopefully one win will lead to a lot of others.
Well, Ben, you're getting a little bit of luck. Some of the boys back from injury. I mean, Cello's the big one back for you. What's he bring that's so special to the group?
I just think he just brings that experience. Obviously, he's played at the top level, so he'll hopefully bring that little bit of calmness back to the group. Obviously, right now we've got a really young group, and obviously injuries haven't helped us so far this season, much like everything else as well. So, yeah, it'll be good just to get Cello back, and think it'll be a big confidence boost for the group.
Gee, Ben, I read with interest during the week some comments from a teammate of yours, Dylan McGowan, when he said that he believes that they're playing better soccer at the moment than they did last year. Is that a fair call?
Yeah, I think so. I could agree. I don't know exactly how they were last year, but a lot of the boys I've spoken to have said we feel better right now than we did this time last year. So that's always a positive sign. I feel like in the three games that we've lost, we've played decent and we probably could have won most of them. So I guess it's just one of those things that the results haven't gone our way yet. But if we had scored a goal a little bit earlier or maybe been a little bit tighter at the end of the game, we could have easily gotten a draw or a win out of the game. So it's just one of those things.
And Ben, it's amazing because there are so many sort of new faces in the side. It's obviously taken and will take time for those players to fit into the end of the structure and so forth. So that's also been new for the players.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, we've got a really long pre-season here, but some boys didn't come till 2 or 3 weeks before the start of the season. So it's obviously different when you're going into the season and maybe only played 1 or 2 games with the starting 11 that went out for round one. So yeah, it's obviously difficult, but that's one of those things that just takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, look, Cage and I are happy to help out, Ben. So we're going to slip down to Cooper Stadium tonight. We're just going to widen the post just a fraction. Because that just needs to be a fraction. But on a serious note, I mean, for the Mariners, the danger men up front, they're pretty good up there. What's been the scouting and preparation for them?
Well, obviously, they've actually got a really good team and they've been playing some great football. Obviously, they've got the new coach, Paul Ocon, now. So I've worked with him and he's a great coach. So I'm not surprised that they're playing better football than they were last year. So it's going to be a tough game, but I think at home in front of our fans, we can definitely get the win.
And Ben, what's the feeling like from our coach? He did a marvellous job last year, winning the title and so forth. Three losses and a draw. What's his attitude towards the players like, Guido Amor, our coach?
Yeah, it's very good. He's obviously been a long way in football and he's very professional and calm. So he keeps the boys very calm and basically just has his focus on the job, which is this week. Obviously wants a win, like all of us. So, yeah, it's just normal for him.
Now, Ben, I don't want you to give me a cliche on this one, you know, the one game at the time stuff. Don't give us any of that. Cage and I don't want that. But the Mariners have lost their last 5 games here in Adelaide. So this would be number 6 without question, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I hope so.
A very, very, very good.
One game at a time.
Ben, is it nice to be home? Back in Adelaide, your hometown?
Yeah, it's been good. Yeah, the last 2 days have been nice weather. But apart from that, it's been pretty horrible. So hopefully once the weather starts to get a little bit better, that'll be nice.
Benny, they talk about some of the big-name players that are playing in the A-League. I mean, Timmy Cahill coming back into play.
Fantastic.
I mean, just a massive boost for the sport.
Absolutely.
How do you feel when you see those guys coming back into the league?
Yeah, it's massive. I think we had, obviously, Del Piero a few years back. And we thought, you know, that would obviously bring a few more other players to the league, but didn't. Now, with Tim Cahill here, I hope, you know, that'll bring other big players to the league as well, because obviously a name like Tim Cahill and the people he knows in football, that could bring massive opportunities to other clubs.
Gee, Ben, the crowds have been good. I must confess, I've been very, very good. You'd be delighted with that, but the support you're getting.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. I think that last game against Victory, I really felt the Adelaide United that I've known to play against, the crowd, how loud they are and stuff. So that was a really good atmosphere.
Well, Ben, all we need, Ben, and when I say all we need, is to get our first win on the board. Then I think we'll be on the old roller coaster. They won't be able to stop us, Ben. So good luck tomorrow. Let's hope we can get our first win of the season, Ben. And good luck to you for the rest of the year, Pearl.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
104.7 Triple M is Ruin Dits for breakfast.
Get the shirt off this afternoon, Dits, you reckon? Get out there and do a bit of exercise.
I don't want to scare people.
No, no.
And the 6 till 6 no repeat work day. It ain't me. Well, somebody told me. Your workplace soundtrack is 104.7 Triple M.
Pleasure, he'll look after you at the best price in town. General and KG with you. General, this month, on the 15th of November, the AFL Commission will meet and decide what action they'll take, if any, against Job Watson and his Brownlow medal win. If they take it away from Job Watson, and they're hoping, by the way, the Commission is hoping that he goes to them and says, look, here it is, I'm handing it back.
Of course, because that's the nice option.
I hope that doesn't happen. And in fact, if he loses the Brownlow, it'll be the greatest injustice I've seen in AFL football.
Look, it's a really difficult one, isn't it? Because we all like Joby. If it was an Akamanis, for example, I think the jury would be out. No, you've got to hand it back because Joby's such a likeable bloke and everybody
and
likes him.
And he's not a drug cheat.
Well, he's guilty. He admitted, I mean, it brings back the whole argument about were they guilty or weren't they. So in the end, the penalties have been handed down.
Yep.
So whether you or I think they're right or wrong doesn't matter anymore. Penalties have done. Unfortunately, he won it under a cloud of doing things that he shouldn't have done. He's got to have it taken back off him. I don't think they have an option because if they let him keep the medal, then they have to admit they were wrong.
I think the circumstances have to be taken into consideration here, how it happened. And, you know, we've heard athletes say that I didn't check this or I didn't check that.
It's not an excuse, Cage. I'm sorry, mate, it's not. You can't they bowl that out at the Olympics, mate. If you cheat, you cheat.
Yeah, that's
don't
fine.
Give me the I didn't know.
No, but he asked the question. And being a part of a football club, a football team, yet you put your faith in the club doctor, you put your faith in the club. If they say it's fine, mate, I'd go ahead and do it.
Well, they're not. To be honest, if it was the doctor, then I'd be wanting some answers from the doctor. If the doctor said to him it's okay, I'd be wanting some answers right there.
He's a part of the club. He knew it was happening, and the club knew it was. I just think
it's got a sad bitter taste to it, hasn't it?
Shocking, absolutely shocking.
I don't think the commissioner have got any choice.
I don't want Joe Watson to go to the commissioner and say here's my Brownlow medal. If he's got to make them make the call, they've got to have the balls to make the call.
You know, the best comment I've heard about this is Tim Watson, who, and I'm a big fan of Tim's, when he said, the Brownlow medal doesn't define Joby Watson. We love Joby before he had the medal, and after the medal.
And that's the sad thing about it. It doesn't define because he's not a drug cheat.
No.
We all know that.
But he's been cast under the shadow of guilt.
I think it's absolutely shocking.
I think he's done.
Okay, coming up shortly, we'll talk to former Australian cricket captain Kim Yu.
104.7 Triple M is ruined it for breakfast.
I don't like lying to my wife very often. But we have to.
And the 6 till 6 no repeat work day. Workplace soundtrack is Triple M.
Good on your head, Austin. Of course, our next guest was a wonderful player, wonderful batsman, and he played cricket here for.
You're saying before?
East Tones. Yep. I think it was East Tones. He played cricket here.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Hughes.
And we talk about former Australian cricket captain Kim Hughes, who joins us on the line now. Kim, thank you for your time.
Yeah, pleasure, KG and the general. Yes, I did play at East Tones, and as a matter of fact, Bob Blewett was my captain.
Yeah.
And I came over halfway through the season. I couldn't get a game for Western Australia. I was 12th man, or three or four games in a row, which meant I was out of cricket for 7 weeks or so. So that didn't, that wasn't my idea of fun. Not too good at carrying the drinks, boys.
No, it was great to have you over here, Kim, I can tell you. Kim, let's talk about the Australian cricket team. None for 158. Yes. Then we lose 10 for 86. How concerned are you as a former cricket captain of the Australian batting side?
Well, it's happened too often. You know, the wicket was very, very good.
Yep.
There was nothing untoward in it at all. I thought, you know, once Steyn went off injured, I thought the South Africans bowled fantastically well as a group.
Yeah, they did.
And I must admit, when they announced the team, I nearly fell over backwards because they picked the young Maharaja or something like that left-arm spinner at the wacker and left out Morkel. And Morkel, you know, would have to be one of the most awkward bowlers ever
tall
in the world.
Yeah.
7 and 8. So unless he was injured, I thought that was an absolute disastrous sort of position. But the young spinner bowled very, very well, exceptionally well. He bowled nice and tight, kept control of it into the wind, and not only kept it tight, but picked up 3 wickets. So he did exceptionally well, but there was an outstanding effort by South Africa. Although now with Steyn out and only 2 quicks and a spinner, I'm not too sure who else can do it. Even if Australia have to chase 350 or 400, you would think they're in the box seat. Although today, South Africa is going to be the hottest day of the year so far, 35 or 37.
Yep.
So if they can get through earlier on, we'll have our work cut out.
Kim, is Steyn done? I mean, 33 years of age, right shoulder. I mean, we'd hate it to finish that way.
Shocking.
I know I'm asking a tough question, but would you think this might be the last time we see him?
I would have thought so. Look, they're saying it's a six-month injury.
Yep.
You know, it depends, I suppose, if he's got a few goals still in mind. Maybe if there was a World Cup coming up, possibly in the 50-over game,
that sort of thing. But you would think that from here, you'd possibly think, well, mate, maybe I'll wait for 3 or 4 months and then see how I go. But has been a fantastic bowler for South Africa. And it also, I think, depends a bit, you know, Phil, whether, you know, you've got Rambada, who is a real promising youngster.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, if they, he bowled beautifully yesterday, Philander, close to the stumps. And what they did do, KG, which is most unusual for the Waka, they got the ball to swing reverse.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was, you know, very rarely have I seen that at the Waka, simply because the wicket's usually got plenty of grass on it and the outfield is beautiful.
Great.
You normally see it, you know, when the outfield is bare and all those sorts of things. So if they unearth another one or two youngsters and they've got a really strong young quartet of quick bowlers, I would have thought that Stone would think, well, I might have had a fantastic career. Yeah. I'll move on.
Exactly. Kim, would you make changes for the next test? Mitchell, Marsh, Voges, would you look at them strongly?
Well, you know, I mean, Voges has been a fantastic success. But obviously when you get to his age, 36 or 37, you're a bit more vulnerable. Mitchell Marsh has got to score runs. I didn't think Rod Marsh helped him at all by saying he needs to score a century.
Exactly. I mean, pressure.
That put the pressure on. I know you're full of pressure, but he hasn't scored a run for a fair while. His bowling at best has been steady, you know, but even in the Shield game that he played and a couple of Matador Cup games, Mitchell didn't score too many runs at all. And if you're batting at six in a test side, mate, you can't average 20. You're going to be averaging, well, these days, hopefully around about 40. So the pressure's on him and that sort of thing. And he'll be as nervous as anything. You know, people can say, oh, look, just go out and relax. But it's all played in the head. I think one of the advantages, though, is that they've named, you know, this side is there for two tests. So it gives him a chance to think, well, all right, I've got three innings. You know, I've got here and then down in
Hobart.
In Tasmania.
Yep.
And the other thing is, KG, who would come in that all-rounder spot? You know, people have talked about Henriques, but I think the jury's still out on him.
Correct.
I like the boy Stoinis. I know he's more of a batsman that bowls a little bit, but he's got a really good attitude. And I think that's, you know, as important as anything. If you've got a bit of mongrel in you, you can survive in Test cricket. And for some of our blokes, I don't seem to have enough mongrel.
No. Kim, just in closing, and this might be somewhat of a controversial question, and you answered how you wish to, Kim, but Michael Clarke's book, I've got to say to you, I found some of his comments disgraceful, particularly about the fact that he accused Shane Watson of being a tumour in the team. As a former Australian captain, what was your take on that?
Mate, look, I saw the interview. I haven't read the book, but I've gleaned enough from it just from reading the newspaper articles. I mean, I've never written a book. If you don't have anything good to say, why say it, for God's sake?
Exactly.
He's a very, very, very wealthy man, Michael. You don't need to go through all that crap. And I thought it was out of line. And just reading the paper, there are a number of his former players or teammates are not happy about it at all. And
how sad is that?
Yeah, mate, well, it is. I mean, you want to be able to walk into the room. I mean, look, Rod Marsh and Dennis Lee made life pretty difficult for me, but we're fantastic mates now. We can walk into a room, enjoy one another's company, rather than backstabbing and, you know, all that sort
good
of
on
stuff.
You, Kim.
I thought it was very, very poor. He doesn't need the money and lost a lot of credibility.
Mate, I've got to tell you, what's disturbing, Kim, is to hear you say you haven't written a book, but if you've got nothing good to say about anyone, don't say anything. I'm not sure if I join those two together. Why you haven't written a book, mate?
Well, I could have done many years ago. Yeah. People would have wanted to have known about World Series cricket and about my relationship with Rod and Dennis. And then, you know, then it goes, Phil, it goes, he said, she said, they said, you know, all that sort of crap. You know, and I could have made a lot of money out of it. But, you know, I decided not to. Kept it to myself. Someone else wrote a book. And that was Christian Ryan did that, and that was an unauthorised autobiography. Because then what happens is when you say controversial things or what you think is the right thing at the time, then, of course, the media go back to Rod and say, Rod, is that right? Or Dennis, is that right? And he's, you know, it just goes on and off. God almighty. Life's too short. Michael, shocker. Shoot at us.
Thanks very much, Kim. Great to talk with you,
Good
Kim.
On you, mate.
It really is. And you know what? That's the first time I've ever heard Kim talk about Rod Marsh and Dennis Lilly. Everybody knew that he was shafted.
Yep.
And, you know, That's credit to the man. He is one, Kim Hughes.
Very
absolutely
underrated. Yep.
The Dead Set Legends catch up for Knowles Caravans. If you're looking to hit the open road with a caravan this summer, start your journey at Knowles Caravans, the home of Island Star and Globetrotter. Triple M.